Good morning, everybody. Good to see you in the house of God this morning. Thank you for being here, giving of your time. And it's really an act of faith to be here this morning. It's an act of faith that we trust God to protect us and to guard us. All around us we see everything's going on, you know, the virus and sickness. And if we're not careful, we can be bogged down with that, and our faith and our trust in God can diminish. But thank God that you're here. You've heard me say many times over that God has given us wisdom. He has also given us faith. And so thank God for faith in him, that he's trustworthy, he is faithful, he's always with us. And glad that you're here. Those who are joining us by Facebook Live, I understand that there are a lot of our church family today watching from Facebook Live. Thank God for technology, that we can use it in a good way, in a fruitful way. And you being at home, there's certainly no condemnation to you that you're staying there in the comfort of your home, safety of your home, to join us and praise God together. Thank you. Amen. God is God. He's living God. He's alive. He's well. He's not tired. He's not wringing his hands. He's not in a dilemma. He's not confused. Praise God. He is clear. He's awesome. He's still the same God that created the universe. He's still the same God today. Nothing is impossible with him. Nothing is possible with you who believe in him, and our strength is from him today. So I bless you in Jesus' name. I feel like there's a couple of weeks ago, Chris and I were talking, and some things in our conversation. It's interesting, a lot of times God places topics and points of ministry on my heart, mainly for me, and then I kind of share with you what God's shared with me to sharpen me up. And so I kind of think and express myself out loud what God's speaking to me, and I feel like that's better because I'm involved. I'm not just telling you a story. God's working on me. And so as we were talking a couple of weeks ago, God just burned this, as he did last Sunday, burned this on my heart today. And a lot of times God will give me a title before he gives me the sermon. He'll say, here's the title, and now I've got to put it together. This time he gave me the sermon, and I was praying about a title. And so it's interesting how God works in different ways. And as I was thinking about how he cares, how much he cares, I'm thinking of people that really aren't close to Christ right now, and maybe blaming the Lord for what's going on right now. They begin to wonder, who really cares what I'm going through? Who really cares the dilemma I'm in? Who really cares about the struggle and the sickness and all these things that are going on? Who really cares? And so today, in these next couple of weeks, I want to express to you that Jesus cares. Jesus cares about everything that you care about. In 1 Peter 5:7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray, God, that you speak through me, Lord, to draw us all closer to you. Lord, you are our coach. You are our creator. You are our king. You are our Lord. You are our savior. And Lord, you know all things. And thank you, Lord, that you care. Thank you that you bless the words today and help us to draw close to you and grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can't help but think, I had a sister, she passed away a few years ago of cancer. But as we were growing up together, I always loved to pick on my sister. You know, I guess that's one purpose for big brothers, is just to pick on your siblings. And so I'd pick on Lynn, and we'd play, and we'd have a great time. But there were a few times that we'd get in an argument and we'd talk. And of course, if one of us couldn't win, we would end it by, who cares? And just kind of walk off. She would do it and I would do it. And that was our way of just ending it and then, you know, going our separate ways and then cool off and come back together. And she was 2 years younger than I was. And I tell you what, God gave her a lot of strength. God built a lot of strength in her to make it through those years. But I want to talk about how much Jesus cares. And you may have this past week said to yourself, who cares? Who cares about what I'm going through? Who cares about what I'm dealing with? But God did not create us to carry the burdens of this life. He knew there would be burdens. He knew there would be challenges. This that we're facing right now is not a surprise to God. He didn't create it. He didn't bring it. But he will use it for our good. He'll use it to draw us closer to him. He cares. God wants us to live without carrying the weights of this life. He wants us to live in confidence in him, knowing that He cares for us. And it goes beyond words. He proves that he cares. He shows his love. He shows that he cares. Here's a simple parable that Jesus gives us in Matthew 10, verses 29 to 31. And this is what Jesus said. He said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will." That's apart from God's knowledge. "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows." His eye is on the sparrow. He knows every single sparrow that falls to the ground, how small they are, how significant they are. And the Bible says, Jesus says, that you are much more valuable than many sparrows. We just read, casting our care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, Jesus is instructing us here to cast our care upon him. But notice that our care, he doesn't want us to carry our care. He wants to carry our care. Is he not doing the same thing that he's telling us not to do? Lord, you're telling us not to carry our care, but yet you're going to carry our care. You're going to attend to it. You're going to see about it. Is he not saying to do the same, telling us not to do what he's saying that he will do? I would say that the definition, the effects of God's care differs from the effects and definition of our care. See, God has a different way of caring than we have a way of caring. God's care does not involve anxiety and fear. The root of our care is anxiety and fear. We're concerned about something, whether it's our children, our grandchildren, whether it's finances, whether it's relationships, whether it's health, whether it's finance, no matter what it is, whether it's job, school, our care is rooted many times in anxiety and fear. And the anxiety and fear cannot be productive in a good way. It actually causes problems. It causes physical symptoms, headaches, nausea, tense muscles, trembling, sweating, heart palpitations, backaches. All these things can be a result of anxiety and fear. And Jesus does not want us to carry that, but he wants to carry our concerns. Well, so his care for you and I is not rooted in anxiety and fear, because he knows all things. He's the great and mighty God. There's nothing impossible with him. God's care wants to carry you, and he can be at rest. He can be at peace knowing that the Father will take every care and concern that you have as we place it into his hands, and he can turn it around for good. He's not anxious. Jesus is not fearful. His care is unlimited by his abilities. I mean, there are some sicknesses. We talk about cancer, and we talk about COVID, and we talk about death, and we talk about all these things, but nothing is beyond God's ability to bring good out of it, because he cares for you. And so in 1 Peter, as we just read, we are to release ownership of that care. Does that mean we stop caring? No. In a healthy way, we can care and say, God, I know that you've got this. I'm at peace with this because I know that you're caring for this situation. It's not a release of concern. It's not just a blasé attitude where we just forget about it and we say, well, I really don't care what happens to it. It's not that at all. The Lord knows that those things are important to us, whether they're small, whether they're big, whether they're minor. Sometimes we prioritize our concerns. Well, this is a small concern, so I'm not going to bother the Lord with it. I'll take care of it myself. Or this is a great big concern. This is cancer, so we've got to really be focused on that and do all we're supposed to do, because this is too big for God. And so we don't realize that God cares about everything that we care about. And even in our care, we can have peace in him without anxiety and fear, knowing that he's going to bring about all that for his good and for your good. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you." What does that mean? He will support you. He will protect you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Big concern, small concern, big care, small care. He wants to take that and support us and protect us in that. We can't minimize our care based on what we think God has got going on. Well, God is really busy right now. You know, thank God he's not like the IRS. He's not backlogged. He doesn't have a lot on his plate. You know, it doesn't matter what we put in the Lord's hands. He's capable. He's capable. Yes. Being prepared for possible difficulties is important. We've got to be prepared for things that we're going to see in this life. And there may be more things that we'll face and we'll see. And we were blindsided about all of this that we're facing right now. But you know what? God was not blindsided. He was not caught off guard. So we can be prepared for possible difficulties because He cares for us. We don't have to be anxious. We don't have to, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? Has anybody ever said that? What if this happens, what are we going to do? If that happens, what are we going to do? We're concerned about the what ifs. Most of the time, the what ifs never happen. We're to be prepared for those difficult times. But most importantly, we're to know that Jesus cares for us. Jesus cares for all the things that we're not even prepared for. He cares. And so the word I'm going to share today, these next few moments with you, I'm going to share with you, is not sugar milk to make you fall asleep. These are going to be some strong words out of the Word of God to strengthen you, to sharpen you, to draw you closer to Him. So the words that I share are the very same words that Jesus spoke to His disciples. When Jesus prepared His disciples, He talked straight, didn't He? He talked straight. He didn't just mill around and say, well, this, that, you, and now let's go get supper. He didn't do that. Supper was involved, but He gave them the straight truth first. And so the word I want to give you today is going to prepare you to face any giant in your life. The same word that Jesus used to prepare His disciples for the world they were about to face are the very words that I'm going to give you this morning from Jesus Christ to prepare us for the world that we are about to face. This is the teaching of Jesus in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 16 to 22 says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Jesus today wants to prepare us for what's ahead. We're getting truth today, but it's not in fear and anxiety, so hear me clearly. There is no fear, there is no anxiety in what I'm telling you today. By the words of Jesus Christ, He cares. We will face the things that is in the Word of God today. We will face those things, and some people are this very moment, right now. But it's not out of an anxiety and fear that we will be successful in those things. It will be out of knowing that Jesus cares for you. He's preparing us for this time. And when we're there, it's not by our power, but it's by the mighty God's power. Jesus wants us to know that these things are coming. But most importantly, He wants us to know. K-N-O-W. Know that we know that we know that Jesus is with us. I'm going to give you four instructions that I believe that comes out of these scriptures that I just read in Matthew. The first one is, we are to do is face the facts. Face the facts. What are the facts? Well, He just told us. He's going to send us as sheep and wolves. Well, should that make us anxious and be concerned that the wolves are going to tear up the sheep? No, we're going as sheep, He said. But He's going to build us up in the faith and build in us what He wants us to do. He's going to cause us to be an influence and to be a light into a dark world. There are more things for us to accomplish in this world before the trumpet sounds. And the only way to do that is not to think that if we ignore the things that we're facing today, that they'll go away, but to know, to face the facts that these things are in front of us, that we are facing things that are going to come against us in many ways. Whether it's in our health and our finances and our families. See, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus is not concerned with that. Jesus is concerned about you being strong enough to be influenced by the faith that he's giving us today, to stand on his word, to be comfortable in his confidence, to be confident in his abilities, and to know that he is God, that we can be safe and protected by his hand today. So as parents, we think sometimes our job is to put our children in a bubble, to build a little home in the backyard and put them in there. You stay there and I'll bring you food. And that way you'll never get hurt. You'll never have to face any things in life. You know, as we were young parents and had Josh and Jordan, we were raising up, it was our desire to keep them away from all hurt. Well, if we can just keep them away from all hurt, they'll be good when they grow up. But you know what? That's a disservice. They're going to face hurts. And so Jesus today is the best father. He's the good father. He's the good shepherd, the perfect shepherd. And so he's not trying to keep us away from hurt. He's telling us that we will face hurt. But he said, be of good cheer, because he has overcome those things. Well, does that make sense? Of course it makes sense. We're not to be anxious because we're not going in the power of ourselves, but we're going in the power of God. So we're to face the facts. It's good to know who your enemy is. And our enemy is the devil. It's good to know who he is. Now, I don't believe we need to take all of our time and focus on him and wonder where he's going or how he's going to do that. See, that's why we're serving Jesus Christ. He gives us the ability to see those things when it's necessary for us to see it. But we're not to be anxious and looking around every corner, being scared of when that thing's going to go off. Jesus will protect us. We face the facts. But we know that Jesus will give us the ability to win. We'll face it and we'll win. Why? Because it's through the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't care for us by giving us a sense of false security. That's not the way he cares for us. We'll stay over there and everything will be okay. Just be really quiet and they'll slip around. He's not giving us a sense of false security. He's giving us the power to face the giant. He's giving us the power to fight against the enemy face to face. Not to run, not to hide, not to think that he's not going to come after us. Listen, if you're wearing the name of Jesus Christ in any shape, form, or fashion today, you're in the cross arrows of the devil. Don't think that you're going to run away from that. There's no fear. There's no anxiety in that. There's confidence in knowing that Jesus will not give us a false sense of security, that he cares enough for us by giving us the facts and then assuring us that we will make it in him. So he gives us the facts. He's letting us know that, hey, I'm sending you out where there's a bunch of wolves. They're going to try to tear you apart. But be assured that I'm going with you because he cares for us. Jesus cares about everything in our lives. It's not a matter of pretending that it doesn't exist. It exists. But it's by the power of Jesus Christ that he's called us to stand up against anything that we face today. We will have weak moments as we face the facts. We'll have times that we wonder, God, where's my strength going to come from today? Whether it's your family, your finances, your health, your future, Jesus cares. Secondly, the instruction for knowing that Jesus cares is to know your assignment. To know your assignment. There is a purpose. There are purposes for you being on the face of this earth today, this moment, 2020. Know your assignment. We just read in Matthew 10:16, the assignment that we've been given is to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. There is an assignment for each one of us. There's something that you need to do for Jesus Christ. And much of our work is going to be outside of these four walls. We come together to encourage one another and for the Lord to pour himself into us and to worship God together. But much of what we do Monday through Saturday, God wants us to do. He has a purpose for us to proclaim the word of the Lord. Know your assignment. That doesn't mean that you know all the details of what's going to happen tomorrow. That's not it at all. Have no idea what tomorrow holds for me or for you. But I do know who holds tomorrow. I do know who's calling the shots. I do know where my power and my strength comes from. I do know where my words are coming from because he just told us where our words would come from, didn't he? So wise as serpents and harmless as doves, that tells me that we need to see through the eyes of Jesus. We need to see the things around us through the eyes of Jesus. Sometimes the things that we're seeing aren't as though they appear. Sometimes they're different than the way they appear. Right? Sometimes it's not easy to spot a wolf. And we need to allow Jesus to take the lead. Jesus takes the lead in our life as we allow him to do it. You know what? Jesus doesn't say, okay, Mike, come this way. Stop that. Come over here. He could. He's all power. But Jesus wants our hearts to be turned toward him to say, Jesus, take the lead in this thing. Show me your way. Show me your will in this. Show me your good in this. We trust him and we say, Jesus, take the lead in this so that I can follow you, so that I can see through your eyes, so that I can see things as though they are. Now, Jesus has faith for us to see things in not always as they are, only as they are, but also what they will be. That's why we need to see Jesus through his eyes, because there's much more that's going to happen around us that we can't see from the surface. So if we see that thing as it is and as the Lord wants it to be, then we can follow his lead and know that he'll bring us through those times of victory in our life. There is much, much victory ahead for the Lord and his church today. For us as Christians, there's much ahead for each one of us today. But also know that if we rely on our wisdom, we'll be limited. If we rely on what we know, we'll be limited, because our wisdom is limited. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man. Seems right because we can justify it. It makes perfect sense. Well, if it makes sense, then it's got to be right, right? The wisdom of man, it says, in its end will be the way of death. That's the road of man's wisdom. We've got to have God's wisdom. We've got to have God's wisdom in the things that we're facing today, in the things that we face tomorrow. We've got to have God's wisdom. We've got to say, God, lead me in this thing so you can show me the way and what to do. We know that the numbers this week have skyrocketed all around us, but you know what? Jesus promises to protect his people if we rely on him. We trust in him. We see things through his eyes and say, God, I don't understand it and I don't have to understand it, but I trust you because I know that you care. And you've got me in the palm of your hand. So not to rely on our wisdom, not to rely on our understanding and make sure things make sense to us. You know what? A lot of things that God has done in my life never made sense to me. But you know what? It was the highest way of God. It was his way of blessing me greater than I ever thought was possible. Know your assignment. There is an assignment for your life. There's an assignment for your life. And we get to make the choice. Do I choose God's assignment or do I choose the enemy's assignment? You can count on the devil having an assignment for you too. He would love for us to all turn away from God and follow him down the road to hell. He would love that. But you know what? We're not going to do that. We're going to trust God. We're going to follow Jesus Christ all the way to the end. And we're going to see every victory that Jesus has before us. We've got to determine that today. God, I'm going to see through your eyes because I know you have an assignment for my life. Thirdly, don't be distracted. Don't be distracted by all the things around you. There will be things to confuse you. There will be things to get your attention off of God. There will be things that will draw your attention to man or draw your attention to the events. There's news channels 24/7. If you want to be distracted, flip that on for about 30 seconds. That's all it would take to be distracted from what God wants to do in our life. Sometimes it can be good things in our life that the devil used for a distraction to get our eyes off of God. Don't be distracted. Your care, if we're not careful, your care can be a distraction. The very thing that we're to give to God, if we hold on to it, can be a distraction because we're so focused on that thing. There are many of you going through different seasons right now. There are many of you that God is creating a new path. And if we focus on the actual event of what's happening right now, we could lose sight of what God wants to do in the long run. There are great blessings ahead. There are some of you that are changing vocations, changing paths in your finances and what you're going to be doing to make it. There are many changes going on around us, many, many different things going on. And I'll tell you this, God's purpose is to bring about good for his people, no matter what it looks like. Don't be limited by what we see. It can be a distraction. Be relying on God. Do not be distracted. Do not be distracted. If I'm walking daily with the Lord, if I'm drawing closer to him every single day, then I'm going to hear his voice. Let me let you in on something. The Lord will actually forewarn you before events happen if we're close to him. There will be things that are coming up that if we're close to God and not distracted by the things of the world and our eyes on different things, if we stay close to God and have an ear for His voice and not be anxious, not to be fearful, but to rely on God, He will speak things to His people before it ever happens. Why does He do that? Because He wants to protect you. There have been things in my life that God has protected me before it ever happened, and it didn't make sense to me. I didn't know what He was talking about, but when it happened, I sure did. It's like, oh, that's what you meant. And so He wants to speak to us. As we read a while ago, He's going to give us the words to speak in that hour. Well, Lord, why don't you give me a couple weeks' notice? Why don't you give me 30 to 45 days at least notice? That way I can be prepared. No, because He knows that we will turn it around and market it. We'll do something else with it besides for His glory. So He gives us that thing just in the right timing so that we're relying on Him for Him to speak to us. He knows how we are. And He still loves us. I love what Deborah said. He still trusts us. He still loves us. He still wants the very best for us, even though that sometimes we're a little selfish. But if we stay close to Him and say, God, I need You. I need You to talk to me. I need You to give me direction. And even if He doesn't speak that very moment, stay close. Don't be distracted, because sometimes He'll test us to see how serious we are to hear from Him. And you've heard me say it before, many times the best way to prove that to Him is time. He'll give us a little time just to see if we still have our ear close by or if we just want a quick word to do our own thing. He knows us. He knows us. And so it's important not to be distracted. God will assure us of His plan of victory even before we face the Goliath. He'll give us the plan. He'll give us the ability to face the thing that we don't even know what's around the corner. Matthew 10:19, as we read a while ago, but when they deliver you up, when these things do happen, when the challenges do come, do not worry. Remember that. Jesus says, do not worry. Don't worry about what? About how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour that you should speak. It'll be His timing. Not only what to speak, but when to speak it. Don't be distracted by worry. Worry will distract you. Worry takes the situation out of God's hands and puts it in our hands. Well, Lord, if I worry about it, surely it's going to make a difference. It'll make everything a lot better if I worry a little more. The more I worry, the hours that I stay awake worrying about this, surely it'll pay off in the long run. It makes you sick. And it doesn't give it to God. But He wants us to give it to Him because He cares, and then we can have peace in our heart knowing that He's taking care of it. He'll turn it around for good. And leads me to my last point. Operate by God's peace. Operate by God's peace. Living by God's wisdom and resting in Him, as we heard earlier, resting in God, He will give us that perfect peace. Because we rest in Him, that doesn't mean that we get in the closet and close the door and say, Lord, I'm resting in You. And we're shaking all over and trembling, scared to death. That's not the rest we're talking about. Rest means that, oh, thank You, Lord, that You've got this. This is beyond me. Has anybody ever faced anything bigger than You? I have many times. And when I got to the place, and believe me, I'm human too. When I got to the place that I trusted God and said, God, this is in Your hand, you know what? It didn't matter if it didn't happen tomorrow, next week, or next month, because I knew that I knew that I knew that I had peace in God, that He was going to take care of it. That didn't mean that it didn't concern me. It did concern me. It did concern me. It was a care. But I got to a place in God that I knew that I had peace in Him, that He was going to take care of all of it. He was going to see that that thing was going to be taken care of. How can we have peace when we face uncertainty? How can we come to a place of peace and uncertainty? If you know me, you know I love dogs. Chris and I both, we've had a dog nearly all of our married life. And several years ago, we had a pair of Chihuahuas. I say a pair of Chihuahuas. It was the father. His name was Prince. And we had his son, Spunky. And Spunky lived up to his name. They were Chihuahuas. They were full-blood Chihuahuas, miniature Chihuahuas. And Prince lived to be 16 years old and passed away, and Spunky lived to be 13 years old. And so as Spunky was in his last few years of living, Jordan, our daughter, she was still at home, and she said, I want a dog. And so we checked around and did some research and found out that Dachshunds were good pets. Dachshunds were good. So we had the family out looking for a Dachshund. And so a few months later, we were able to get Jordan a Dachshund. I believe it was December of 2012. And or that's when he was born. So shortly thereafter, we were able to get Indiana Jones Murray. We call him Indy. And so Indiana Jones, he's a miniature Dachshund, about 12 pounds. And they call him Blue. His eyes are blue, and he's real short hair like his daddy. And he's a sweet, sweet boy. Well, so after Jordan and Tim got together, Jordan and Tim got married about 6 years ago. And so we had Indy, and she said, Mom and Dad, would y'all take care of Indy for me? And while we get married and build the house and get settled in and all that. And we said, sure, we will. Well, so in the meantime, when we took Indy, when Jordan moved away, Indy and I got to be pretty close. Indy's my little buddy and my sidekick, and Indy's always with me, and we know each other. You know, we kind of read each other. I know what he's thinking. He knows what I'm thinking. And I just love dogs. Love dogs. And Indy's been very, very special to us. You know, in the midst of everything that's going on in the world today, and in the midst of troubles and heartache and everything else, about 2 months ago, Indy wasn't acting just right, and he's now 7.5 years old, will be 8 this coming December, but just to share you my heart, you know, and so a couple months ago, I knew something wasn't right, so we took him to the vet, and the vet said, well, it looks like a UTI, we'll give him an antibiotic and keep him on that for a couple weeks, and that should take care of it. Well, 2 weeks passed and still no change. And so the following week, we called the vet again, and she said, bring him in. So they did, and they had done a scan the first go-round, and she pulled the scan. She said, you know what? She said, his prostate's swollen. And she said, let's try a little different, stronger antibiotic for Indy and just see what happens. So two weeks in of strong antibiotic, there was no change. And so the following week, of course, at this point, you know, in the back of your mind. And so the vet said, well, if this doesn't work, you're going to have to see a specialist. There's specialists in Jacksonville and Savannah. So last Tuesday, I had a full week this week. And so Crystal said, well, let's make the appointment and I'll take him to Savannah. So she took him to Savannah last Tuesday morning. The doctor checked him and come to find out it's an inoperable tumor. And it's prostate cancer. And about the size of a golf ball, and said that we'll give him a shot every 3 weeks, and there'll be some medicine, some chemo daily to give him chemo, and we'll try to do what we can. And I wanted to share that with you because even the little things, as we think the little things in life for us, and I hadn't wanted to talk about it. I hadn't wanted to, you know, I've had my time, me and Indy just paired up and me trying to cheer him up and do all that stuff. And here's a pepperoni bud and here's a vanilla wafer and trying to sleep and things. And the doc says, don't let him influence you now. Just do like you normally do. But out of all the things that's going on, what I'm saying is if we're not careful, the little things in life that are big concerns for us can distract us. But a couple of weeks ago, God spoke to me about Indy and said that Mike, Indy's going to be okay before I even knew what it was. And so God prepares us. I just want to tell you that the peace of God can come over you today, and no matter what you're facing. You say, well, Pastor Mike, what about Indy? Well, I know that God created Indy, and God's going to take care of Indy. He's going to bring us together. No matter what happens, God is going to bring us together and encourage us and strengthen us no matter what. And even Prince and Spunky are in heaven today. And any creation that God make, I believe that if we enjoy it, it's going to be in heaven. And so what I want to tell you today is that we can receive the peace of God, and no matter what you're facing today, no matter how important these things are to you in life, He cares. Jesus cares. Don't ever think that thing in your life that you're concerned about, and that thing that you're worried about, that thing that you're fretting about, that God doesn't want to bring you peace in. John chapter 16, verse 33 says this, these things I have spoken to you that in me, notice that's capital M, speaking of Jesus, in me you may have peace. It's found in Him. In the world you will have tribulation. Well, so you want to leave today with an encouraging word? The encouraging word today is you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now, why would Jesus overcome the world? Did he overcome the world just because he could put it in the word and say, I overcame the world, I have a trophy? Or did he do it for you and for me? I'm convinced that Jesus did everything that he did. Jesus is doing everything that he's doing because he loves you. Jesus cares for you. And in the midst of confusion, in the midst of concern, in the midst of all the things that are going on in your life today, Jesus cares. I want to pray God's peace over you today, that you receive God's peace, that you will know that you know that you know that he cares. It's beyond our ability to understand it. It's beyond our ability to understand the love of Christ, that he cares so much for us, that he has the peace that passes all understanding. He overcame the world so that you and I could receive life, this life and the life to come. What's the solution to knowing that God cares? It's found in Romans 12:2. It says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's having the mind of Christ. Having the mind of Christ, renewing your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you want to know the perfect will of God? It's to have your mind renewed and to know that he's bringing you peace today. That's the mind of Christ. I see Bobby and Ted this morning. We've been praying for y'all for weeks. They're here this morning because God has done the work in your life. Amen. God has done the work. So we can have peace and assurance in Jesus' name, knowing that God cares for us. And that those crooked paths and the turns and the twists and the things that are going on in some of your lives today that you don't understand it, you can be at peace because God's going to cause all that to be a blessing in your life. He promises to take care of his children. And as we rely on him, as we trust him, yes, we're going to see the facts. Yes, we want to face the facts. But the truth is, he has overcome the world. We see the facts, but the truth is, he has overcome the world. And that same truth that he paid for today is up to us to believe that truth, to have the mind of Christ. John 8:32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." God wants you to walk in freedom today, not bound by the things of this life, not bound by the concerns of this life, not bound by the struggles and the challenges of this life. Yes, they're there. And until we get to heaven, we're going to face those challenges. But be of good cheer. The Lord has overcome the world. I want to pray that you receive the truth today. We know the truth. But receive the truth. Apply the truth to our heart. Have a renewed mind today so that our mind is made up. Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm going to have peace in you. I'm going to follow you. And you're going to cause all these things to work together for good because I believe and I trust in you. Are you with me?